Good morning, everyone. Shalom Aleichem. Baruch Shechianu v'kiyimanu v'giyanu lazman hazeh. It's a real zchus to be here with all of you. I hope one day to be able to see you all in person. Welcome to many familiar faces. Many of you I also don't know. I could see about half of you. And b'siyata d'shmaya, Ezra Hashem, we're going to be learning machshava. The way we're going to try to learn together is by learning sugyos and analyzing a sugya more broadly, so we have a better understanding of very fundamental and important topics. And we're going to start with a topic. I never know exactly where to start with, so I thought we would start with Parshas HaShavua, and we're going to talk about the purpose of mitzvos generally today. And the place, one of the central places where the Rishonim discuss this question of the purpose of mitzvos is regarding the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein, which is in our parsha, Parshas Ki Tzeitse, and I thought we would start with that. You should all have Mekoros, which you can get from the canvas. I see that you're saying that it's coming in at a funny what place. So what I'll do is, I'll just put it on the chat. I think that will work. One second then. Okay, sorry, I will open.
Rabbi, I just put it on as a PDF.
In case anybody wants. Yeah, I'm going to send it as a Word document. That's what I have it. I'm just finding the document, and then I'm going to put it on the chat. You did it already. Oh, great. Okay, perfect. Okay, so everybody should have it now. Fabulous. Feel free to ask questions as you would in a normal shiur. I know it doesn't feel like a normal shiur, but you certainly, you can feel free. You could try to put it in the chat, but I may or may not see it if you do that. It's hard to multitask and read chats at the same time. But I'd love to hear your thoughts. Also, I'd love to get to know you. That'll be a little easier once we're all back on campus, Be'ezras Hashem, after Sukkos. But until then, certainly feel free to reach out to me after Shir, or you could email me, and we'll set up a time to schmooze. Okay, so without further ado, let us begin. So if you do open up the Koros, we're going to ask a very basic question, in a sense, an obvious question. And what we'll see, though, is that the answer is somewhat surprising in many ways. So the question is, why did Hashem instruct us to perform mitzvos? The Ramban, in a number of places, including in Dvarim Perek Vav and Perek Yud, notes that there are many psukim that emphasize that the purpose of mitzvos is for our benefit. One example, from Dvarim Yud, the Atah Yisrael, Ma Hashem Shoel Meimach, Kiim Liras Hashem Elokecha Lalechas B'chol Durachav, Le'ava Oso, V'la'avod Es Hashem Elokecha B'chol Levavcha V'chol Nafshecha, Lishmoris mitzvos Hashem v'eschukosa v'asher anochi mitzavecha mitzavcha hayom l'tov lach. So do all these things, do mitzvos, l'tov lach, for your benefit. This idea is made by the Rambam as well, in Mor Nevuchim, v'hakavana kula shel ha-mitzvos l'ho ilenu k'mo she-biyarnu ma'amaro l'tov lanu kol hayamim, a different pasuk, but the same idea. L'chayosenu kayom hazeh. The purpose of mitzvos is to help us, to benefit us, as the pasuk says. Other psukim emphasize that mitzvos give us life, life on this world, eternal life. Heidosi b'chem hayom es ha-shamayim ves arts ha-chayim v'amaves nasati l'fanecha bracha v'akvala. U'v'acharta b'chayim, you should choose life, you should choose to do what's right. L'man techiyah tavizarecha, so that you may live. And the Ramban adds that this is obvious from a logical perspective. If mitzvos, what's the alternative? Mitzvos are for God. We give something to God when we do mitzvos. So that doesn't make any sense. God lacks nothing. We don't really help him. We don't give him anything when we do mitzvos. And there's a pasuk in Iyov that emphasizes this point. Im chatasa matifal bo, if you sin, what have you done to him? The rabu psha'echa matase lo, if your sins are many, how have you harmed him? Im tzadakta matitein lo, and if you're righteous, if you do the mitzvahs, what have you given him? Oma miyadcha yikach, what can he take from your hands? So how are mitzvos for our benefit? In what way do they benefit us? So the Ramban identifies a number of ways, and he begins with a very important medrash. And this medrash, we're going to read carefully now, because we will see there's a very important debate about how to read this medrash. So the medrash says, "V'chi ma'ichpas lo la'kadosh baruch hu, bein sheshochet es ha'behema v'ochel, o im no'cher v'ochel." What does God care if we do shechita or nechira? The difference between shechita and nechira, nechira is to kill an animal by poleaxing it from the back of the neck. Shechita must be from the front of the neck. So what does God care which way you do it? One is kosher, one isn't. Klum ata mo'ilo, o klum ata maziko. Have you harmed him in any way or helped him in any way? O ma'achbas lo bein ochel tahoros, lo chol nevelos. Or what does God care if you eat kosher or non-kosher food? Amar Shlomo, im chachamta, chachamta l'cha, the gomer. The pasuk says, if you become wise, you'll become wise for yourself. Ha lo nitnu ha mitzvos el litzarif b'hanes abriyo. So mitzvos were given to purify people, the Yisrael, and specifically Yisrael, shenemar, kol imros Hashem tzerufa, all of the statements of God are pure. Lama, she'en magen alecha, so protect you. Shenemar magen hu, l'chol hachosim bo. God protects, God is a shield for all those who trust in him. Now, this medrash troubled the Rambam. Before we get to the Rambam, let's talk a moment about the Rambam. And the reason is because the Rambam explains that all mitzvos have a purpose. In fact, in the Mor Nevuchim, Chelek Gimel, he actually offers reasons, suggestions at the very least, for all 613 mitzvos. So this medrash seems to contradict this view, because it says, V'chi ma'achbas lo la'kadosh baruch hu. What does God care? It sort of sounds like there's no purpose in mitzvos. Now, the Rambam actually has a very interesting reading of this medrash, which we'll return to later. I don't know if we'll get to it today or perhaps the next year. The Rambam understands that this medrash is actually telling you that there's not always reasons for the details of mitzvos, though every mitzvah has a reason. Sometimes the details, why is it this way and not that way, are meant to instill obedience. There has to be some reason, you know, you have to pick to do it one way or the other. It can't just be do it however you want. And that's what it's saying. So a detail of the mitzvah, namely whether shechita is from the front or from the back, that's a detail. God doesn't really care about the details. There aren't purposes. There isn't a reason for the details. Now that's a very controversial statement, and we'll get back to the Ramban later. But let's work on the Ramban. So the Ramban says that's not the correct interpretation of the Medrash. Really, what this Medrash is teaching us is a very fundamental lesson about the purpose of mitzvos. And the Medrash is telling us, actually, that mitzvos are meant to purify us. They are for us, as the Ramban said before, there for us, and in what way to purify us. So let's read the Ramban. This is a very long Ramban, this week's Parsha, Perek Chav Beis Pasuk Vav, on the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein. And let's read inside a number of paragraphs from this Ramban. It's the next source on your sheets. And we will we'll work on this. I didn't include the whole Ramban here, this week's Parsha. You should always read the Ramban on every Parsha if you can. It's a very, very, in a sense, you know, many thinkers have argued that perhaps the most important Machshava Sefer there is Ramban al HaTorah. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein said that if you look at Ali Shur, Ravoldi writes that there are certain Sfarim that every yeshiva bachar has to learn. And one of them is the Ramban al HaTorah. So it's something that's very worthwhile investing in. It's an asek, it's an avoda, it's not easy, and they have to be learned b'iyun. So we're not going to read the entire Ramban today. We're also going to see a Maral. We probably won't have a chance to read the whole thing inside shortly. It's very worthwhile to read the whole thing inside as well. But we'll start again from the middle of the Ramban, which is what you have here in your source sheet. Aval elu hagados asher niskashu al harav, these midrashim that troubled the Rambam, as we mentioned before, this medrash troubled the Rambam because the Rambam thought the medrash implies mitzvos don't have reasons, and that's a problem. Harav here is the Rambam. Kafi da'ati inyan acher lohem. They have another understanding. Shiratzu lomar she'ein hato'eles b'mitzvos la'kadosh baruch hu. The medrash is teaching us that the purpose of mitzvos is not for God. So what is the purpose of mitzvot? To prevent us from harm or having a false belief, an emuna ra'a, meaning to say, as he's going to explain later, why it's so problematic to have false beliefs. So mitzvot instill in us correct beliefs. Omida meguna, mitzvos give us midos tovos, or they protect us from a harmful mida. O lizkor anisim v'niflaos, or they help us remember the nisim. And why is that important? V'ladas es Hashem, they help us in yediyas Hashem, in knowing God. V'zel litzareif, that is what's meant by litzareif, bahem. Shiyu kekesef tsaruf. So the Ramban over here is saying, let's look at the mashal, at the metaphor that the Medrash uses. The Medrash refers to mitzvos, the purpose is literally to refine. And the Pasuk in Mishlei compares it to refining metal. So the process of refining or purifying metals is to rid the metal of its impurities. If you want to produce pure silver, you have to, from iron ore, so you're mitzaref the metal, and that makes you put it into a very high, hot oven and the like, and that rids the metal of the impurities. Now it'll become pure gold or pure silver, as opposed to what it started off with, which is gold mixed with impurities. And so too, we have certain impurities, defects, chesronos, whether it's a mida meguna or an emuna ra'a. And by doing the mitzvos, we become pure, we become refined, we become stronger. And that strength is what protects us, whether it's from physical harm or negative character traits or erroneous theological beliefs, ultimately helping us know God. Hine mefurash bekan shelobo lomar ela she'ena to'elas elav yis'ala she'itzdarach la'ora kemechushav min ha'menorah v'she'itzdarach lamas la'karbonos v'reach ha'ktores k'nirim mepshutayim. The Ramban here says something very interesting. If you read the psukim in Chumash, literally, you get the impression that the purpose of mitzvos is for God, that we help him, right? As karbani lachmi lishai, reyach michochi, it's lechem Hashem. God is hungry, and we give karbanos, and now he's full. We light the menorah, and now we're giving him light. A certain boorish way of reading the Torah, but also a more literal way. Like he says, almost mipshutehem, the simplest way of reading the psukim. And towards the end of the shiur, we'll, Lazarus Hashem, get back to the fact that Kabbalistic sources, which Ramban himself quotes, do seem to read the psukim that way, but we'll get back to that a little later. The simple reading of the psukim sound like mitzvos are meant, or certain mitzvos at the very least, why karbanos are meant for us to give to God, and he's saying that's totally wrong. And that's what this medrash is coming to teach us, that they're not for him, they're not for God, they're for us. And the medrash adds, "V'afilu azecher lenifla osav she'asa, she'tziva la'asos lezecher yetzias mitzrayim u'maisa bereishis." Even mitzvos that seem to be all about giving kavod to God, right? Like all the mitzvos, zecher yetzias mitzrayim, or zecher l'maisa bereishis, all these mitzvos which are about, you know, praising God. Even those mitzvos, which don't seem to be for us, they seem to be about God. Eina to'eles lo, they're not for him. Rak sheneda anachnu ha'emes, v'nizkebo ad sheniyeh re'uyim lios magen aleinu. By knowing the truth, acknowledging the truth, then we are worthy of his protection, as the Medrash continues. Ki diburenu v'zachrenu b'niflosav me'efes v'tohu nechsheves lo. Because it's not like he needs our kavod, right? It's not worth anything to him. It's really for us. Ve'hevi raya min ha'shochet min ha'tzavar v'ha'oreif lomar shekulam lanu. So what's the example that the Medrash brings? Shechita. It has to be from the front of the neck, not to the back of the neck. That shows it's for us. How so? How does it show that? Lefi shelo yitafin lomar b'shechita she'ebato elis v'kavod l'baris barach b'tzavar yoser me'oreif. It's proving it in the following way. It's obvious that the goal is not for God, because from God's perspective, it doesn't matter. You don't give him anything if you slaughter from the front of the neck or the back of the neck. Ella lanuhem ladrichenu b'nesivos harachamim gam ve'esa shchita. They're for us. How so? In what way is it for us? Because it guides us in the pathways of mercy, even during shchita. What's the idea? The idea is that a person, when they slaughter something, they could become cruel. They could become insensitive. After all, there's all this blood. You're killing a living being. And the laws of Shechita, as the Ramban tells us, are all actually designed to minimize the pain of the animal. The Ramban actually talks about this in Parshas Bereishis as well. They're meant, you know, you have to do it with a very sharp knife. You can't stop in the middle. You can't press. You can't push. The animal almost immediately loses consciousness. They're all designed to prevent pain to the animal. If you were to shech from the back of the neck, the opposite would be the case. It would be a very painful death. So therefore, why does he tell us to slaughter from the front and not the back to minimize the pain to the animal? Now here the Ramban says, but don't think that the purpose is pain of the animal for the animal's sake, which is actually something he says in Bereishis, but rather it's for our sake to make us, ladrichenu b'nesivos harachamim, to make us more merciful people, so that we are sensitive people, sensitive to the pain of animals. It's a more anthrocentric perspective. The Amram, the Medrash continues, in Chachamta, sorry, did I skip? Yeah, sorry. And gam be'es hashchita, in other words, even when we're killing, we have to be rachmanim. Ve'viu raya cheres, o ma ichbas lo bein ochol tahoros, behem machalam hamutarim, lo ochol tameos, vein machal masurim. So what about eating kosher? Shamra be'ma Torah, tmeim heim malachem, v'remez, shehu lihiyosenu nikiyei hanefesh, chachamim maskilei haemes. These mitzvos help us to be nikiyei hanefesh. In other words, apparently, the non-kosher foods like nevelos are mitamtei mishalev. They prevent us from understanding the truth. They're mitamtei mishalev. When we eat kosher food, that allows us to be maskilei haemes, people who understand the truth. So here too, they're for our benefit. The amram im chachamta chachamta locha. This idea that mitzvahs are for us is something that's uniformly, universally agreed upon by all of our teachers. And that's going to be very important because we're going to see shortly statements in Chazal that seem to contradict this. Talk statements about giving nachas ruach l'Hakadosh Baruch Hu, for example. So the fact that the Ramban says that everybody agrees to this in all of Chazal is very, very significant. It's going to tell us that we have to figure out what those statements mean, because there isn't a machlokas about this topic. Yes, Jacob, you want to? You could ask a question.
Yeah, I have a question. I'm sure we'll go into this probably, but something that's troubling me is the purpose of the mitzvos and the purpose for the world the same question? And I ask that because it sounds like there was a world already. And then now that there was a world, Hashem gave us the mitzvos to purify us and to bring out. But why did we need that to begin with? Like, why did there need to be humans?
Okay, so you're making a good point. The Ramban over here is not addressing the question, why did he create the world? He's addressing the question, why did God give us the mitzvos? So another related question is, why did he create the world? Now, it's interesting, because the Ramban does address that in a number of places, perhaps most famously at the end of Parshas Bo. And the truth is that when you look at those places, it almost sounds like the exact opposite message, A, about creation, and B, even about mitzvahs. Because over there he says that that the purpose of creation and the purpose of mitzvahs is for us to be mechaber Hashem and to proclaim his greatness and to acknowledge his greatness. Almost sounds like the opposite. So that's a very good question. And we will, Be'ezus Hashem, return to it. But if I had only this source or only this perspective, I would imagine that the purpose of creation is also for man, is also for us, as many sources indicate. It's a view perhaps most famously articulated in the Hakadama to Mesilas Yesharim, where he talks about the goal of creation is to be native, to give to us. And that's very consistent with the idea that mitzvos are also meant to purify us so that he can give to us in the best possible way. So that's what I would think from this source. But as we'll see in just a couple of moments, there are other sources, like that other Ramban and like other Rambans about mitzvos, that seem to give a different perspective, and we'll have to figure out how to reconcile those. Let's just finish up this. V'shalu b'Yerushalmi, im poschen la'adam b'chvod ha'makom b'dvarim shebeino l'vein ha'makom, v'shivu al ha'shel ha'zos, ki ezu kavad ha'makom, ki gon sukkah, sheini osa, lulav, sheini notel, tfilin, sheini meniach, v'ainu kvod ha'makom, mashma, d'l'nafshe hu d'mahani, Kadaim tzadakta matitin lo, o mam yad chayikach, im chatasa matifal bo, v'rabu pshacha matasa lo. Hinei biru, shafilu alulav asukav atfilin, שציבה בהן שיהיו לו אוס על ידך לזיכרון בנינך, כי ביד חזקה הוציאך השם ממצרים, אין לו לכל השם יספרך, אלא לרחם על נפשי סיינו. He said to Yerushalmi, which he interprets as emphasizing that even mitzvot that do seem to be about giving to God, actually like that Ramban says in Parshas Bo, are not for God, they're for us. So even mitzvot like tefillin, like lulav, which seem to be all about giving praise, glory, honor, respect to God, are really for us. They're not l'kvod Hashem Yisparach, but rather l'rachim al nafshaseinu. V'kvar sidru lanu b'tfilas yom ha-kippurim. Atayv dalta enosh mirosh. V'takirei lamod l'fanecha kimi yomar l'cha ma ta'aseh. V'im yitzdak ma yitin l'cha. V'chein amr. So this idea seen in the tfilah, ne'ilah, that we see on Yom Kippur, that you were mavdil b'nei Yisrael or b'nei Adam, but again, not for us, because we can't, not for you, because we can't give you anything, right? When we do mitzvot, we haven't given anything to you. It doesn't help you, God. You're lacking nothing. So if we were to summarize, he's identified a number of purposes in mitzvot. They're all about us, not about a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And I think if we pay close attention, he's basically highlighted two basic goals of mitzvot. The first one is perfection of the mind. Liosenu nikiye hanefesh chachamim maskil ha'emes belo sige machshavos raos. Examples of this include things like remembering Yitzias Mitzrayim or not eating unkosher food. And the second one is perfection of character. Lenoa mida meguna. Examples of this were the laws of Shechita, and he's going to say in a moment, Shiluach HaKein. So, two basic goals of mitzvos, perfection of the mind and perfection of the character. Now, while this position, we've seen it in Rambam and Ramban, that mitzvos are for us, not for God, seems to be quite compelling, both from perspective of psukim and the perspective of logic, we will see that it's not so clear-cut. And we're basically going to consider two objections or alternatives. The first we'll consider is the Maharal's critique. And the second we will consider is a critique based, coming really from Chazal and especially from Kabbalistic statements, statements of the Ramban himself. In other words, even though over here the Ramban seems to be absolutely clear, in other places, he seems to present things differently, and we'll have to try to understand that. So let's start with the Maharal. And the Maharal really begins with a Gemara in Brachos, Lamed Gimel, Lamed Beis, about Shiluach HaKein, a mitzvah in this week's Parsha. The Mishnah says, Ha'omer al-Kan Sipor Yagiu Rachamecha Mishaskin Oso. If, this is actually talking about the Shaliach Tzibor, and he gets up and he starts adding to the Shmona Esrei. And one of the things he adds is, Al Kan Tzipor Yagiu Rachamecha, that just as your mercy is extended even to the bird's nest, as you commanded us to send away the mother before taking the chicks or the eggs, so too, you're so merciful. So here we have a person who goes ahead and he's Mishabech HaKadosh Baruch Hu for his mercy, as seen in the mitzvah Shiluach HaKein. So we silence him. We remove him from being the Shaliach Tzibor. My time, how come? The Gemara understands that we're only going to be mashtik someone who's done something very problematic. So, for example, other statements that are problematic are someone who says modim modim. It sounds like they're shtei reshuyos or shema shema. It sounds like he's believing in a dualistic belief in which there's a God of good and a God of bad, sort of Zoroastrianism, right? Anytime the Mishnah says Mishaskin Oso, it's because he's said something that's really problematic. So what's so bad about saying, Kan Tzipo Yagiu Rachamecha? That's the Gemara Shaila. So the Gemara has two answers. Pligi ba trei amorai b'ma rava. Rabbi Yosi bar Avin, Rabbi Yosi bar Zvida. Chad amar mipnei shemati al kina b'maisa bereishis. One opinion says it's because you're creating jealousy in God's creation. Probably what that means is that he's emphasizing God's mercy on the birds. But what about all the other animals? Perhaps we'll have a chance to explain that a little better. But the focus for now is going to be on the second answer in the Gemara. You've made the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Rachamim. You've implied that God commanded mitzvos and the mitzvah Shiluach HaKein especially because of his mercy. And that's not true, because they are gzeros. Adkan. What does that mean? So let's just take a look at Rashi. Midosav, mitzvosav. Who lo lerachamim asa. God did not command mitzvos, and especially the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein, as an act of mercy. El hatil al Yisrael chukei gzeirosav, to place upon the Jewish people his laws. Lo diashem avadav, the shomei mitzvosav, to show that they are his servants. The gzeiros, the chukosav, af bedvarm shiesh, lesatan, what does it say? It means the mitzvahs that Satan or the Umos HaOlam will make fun of us. They say, what's the purpose of the mitzvah? So this line clearly implies, as Rashi more or less spells out, that mitzvahs are not expressions of divine mercy, as we saw in the Rambam and the Ramban, but rather they are edicts maintained to demonstrate obedience. The Rambam in the Marne Vuchim that we cited before more or less agrees to this reading of the Gemara. He reads the Gemara like Rashi, but of course that troubles him. Because as we said before, the Rambam maintains that mitzvos are A, for our benefit, and B, they have a reason. So the Rambam has a solution to this. Again, it's the same place, Marne Vuchim, Chelek Gimel, Perek Mem Ches. And it's a radical solution, actually. The Rambam writes that what this Gemara is saying, this Gemara reflects a das yachid. In other words, the truth is, the Rambam says, that the purpose of mitzvos is for us. The reason for the mitzvah Shiluach HaKein, and he adds, Oso Vespino, is because God has compassion on the animals. God is concerned about the pain of the animals, not just the physical pain, as you see in the mitzvah of Shechita, but even an emotional pain, as you see in the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein, as you see in the mitzvah from Parshas Emor, Oso Vespino, Lo Sishchatu B'Yom Echad. That's the real reason. This Gemara. So the Rambam writes, if the law that this opinion, this Gemara, I'll just read it to you, I didn't put this on your sheet, but this Gemara, it is the expression of one of the two opinions mentioned by us, namely, that the precepts of the law have no other reason but the divine will.
Where is that Rambam?
Follow the other opinion. It's in Gimel Memches. In other words, there is a machlokas, the Rambam says. What's the purpose for mitzvos? There's one view, as expressed by this Mishnah Gemara, that mitzvos are just chukim, they're gzeros, they're a reflection of divine will. But we don't accept that view. We think that the correct opinion is that mitzvos have a reason, have a purpose, and the purpose is to help us. Now, at first glance, I suppose this solution doesn't seem that radical. There are plenty of times where we find a machlokas and we accept one position. But the reason why this is problematic, as the Maharal points out in the next source coming up in Tiferes Yisrael, is that there's no machlokas here. It's a stam mishnah without any debate. How could you just say, oh, the mishnah is a das yachid? right? The Rambam doesn't bring evidence that there's a machlokas, right? Imagine you go ahead, you learn a Gemara, you learn a Stam Mishnah, the Gemara and the like, okay? And then it's time to paskin, and they say, oh no, that Mishnah is a Das Yachid. We don't accept it. But there's no machlokas, right? You can't do that. That's the kasha of the Maral. That's the kasha of the Maral. There's actually another problem with this Rambam, and we're going to get back to the Rambam's view in just a moment, which is actually, if you look at the Rambam in Mishnah Torah, he does paskin this Mishnah, and he paskins the reason of the Gemara, which is very strange. Right now we have a internal question on the Rambam and Mar Nebuchadnezzar plus a steer on the Rambam, because now there's a contradiction between Mishnah Torah and Mar Nebuchadnezzar. That latter question we'll get back to in a moment. In terms of the first question, before we see that the Maral rejects Rambam based off of these questions, but what the Rambam himself would probably respond is the following. And the Rambam actually does this in a handful of places. Places where the Rambam notes that there seems to be statements in Chazal that contradict his view, and he says it's a Das Yachid. So how could he do that? The Rashba also challenges this tactic of the Rambam. I think there are four places that I know of that the Rambam does this, though maybe there are more. The Rambam explains his position, and maybe another time we'll have a chance to really elaborate upon this. But the Rambam says, no, I'm not just randomly saying that this is a Das Yachid because it goes against my philosophy. But rather, if we look at the Torah in totality, we look not just at the very local source here, but we look at it much more broadly, you will see many sources that are against this. And not only a contradictory opinion, but the overall perspective of Torah is against this. For example, there are many psukim that we ourselves saw at the beginning of this year today, which highlight that mitzvos are for us, not for God. Everything is l'tov lach. There are psukim and statements in Chazal that mitzvos have purpose. They're not just gzeros, lahatil el habrios. Many places where Chazal themselves gives reasons for mitzvos. The Gemara Nida, Mipnei Ma, Amra Torah, Nida Asra L'Shiva. The Rambam quotes the statement about Shlomo HaMelech, how he's able to figure out the reasons for all mitzvos except for Paraduma. Clearly, there are reasons. So the answer is, yes, the Rambam does have lots of evidence that this is a Das Yachid. If, in fact, what this Gemara is saying is that there are no reasons for mitzvos, in other words, if the Rambam saying, if my understanding of this Sugyan Brachos is correct, then I have lots of evidence that this is not the mainstream view, that it's a Das Yachid, right? Just like the Rambam does in Mishnah Torah all the time. You know, you go ahead, you learn a sugya in the Gemara, and then you look it up in Mishnah Torah, and the Rambam doesn't paskin the sugya. So sometimes it's because you didn't know how to read the sugya according to the Rambam. But other times, it's because of the fact that the Rambam saw that there's a stira to this, that there's a contradiction, that it goes against everything, right? And that's exactly what he's doing over here. But let's return now to the Maral. Let's return to the Maral. So the Maral, actually before we get to the Maral, let's talk about the Ramban. So the Ramban is also troubled by this Mishnah, by this Gemara, same Ramban as before. And the Rambam basically answers that, well, let's read it. You have it in your next source over here. It's the same Rambam, just a little bit later. Masha Amru lefi she'osem yidosef shal kodesh baruch hu rachamim einan elok zeros. Lomar shelo chas hakel al kan tzibar velo higiu rachamav al oso vespino. Shein rachamav magiyin bevalei hanefesh habehamis lemnoa osanu milasus behem tzarkenu shem kain haya oser hashchita aval tam hamaniya lelamed osanu midas harachmanos shelo nisachzer. The Ramban is saying that, and this, by the way, is sort of interesting, because the Rambam himself makes this point in Mishnah Torah. We'll get to it a little later, the Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah. more or less says the same thing. He's saying what the Gemara in Brachos is saying is as follows. Don't say that the reason for Shiluach HaKein is for the animal. Because if it was for the animal, then Hashem would have also asked Shechita, right? If God was so concerned about animal well-being, so well, we'd have to be vegetarians. So it must be that it's not for the animal. Oh, so what then is it for? It's for us, right? In other words, he's saying, you, Rambam, you, Rashi, you misunderstood this Gemara. The Gemara is not saying that mitzvos are for God. The Gemara isn't saying mitzvos are arbitrary or xeros or lahat. No, xeros in the sense of not having a purpose. No, the purpose of mitzvos is for us to make us, like we said, compassionate people. Because if we would go ahead and pull out the young from underneath the mother, or shecht a mother and a child on the same day, then that would make us into cruel people. Now, it's sort of interesting, by the way, because we mentioned before the Rambam from Parshas Bereishis does imply that the reason for the mitzvos that are meant to prevent pain for the animal, like Shiluach HaKein, are for the animal. So why over here does he say that they're for us, they're not for the animal? One possible resolution, though this requires elaboration, is that this is very different than other mitzvos about pain for the animal, whether it's Tzar Balei Chayim generally, or the laws of Shechita, or Lo Sachro, Shor V'Chamor, or all the other mitzvos, unloading an animal, Tina, Prika, these things. So they are all, even Lo Sachso, Shor V'Disho, those are all about the physical pain of the animal. Could be that laws that concern the physical pain of the animal, those are for the animal as well, at the very least, because the animals do experience pain, and they're living creatures, as the Ramban explains, so we shouldn't cause them pain. But the mitzvah Shiluach HaKein and Osel Vespino are not actually about physical pain, they're about emotional pain. Who knows if animals have this emotional pain? The point that this Gemara is telling us is even if they didn't have this emotional pain, it would still be something we shouldn't do because it would make us cruel. Therefore, it's for us. That's the Ramban's reading of this Gemara. Now, the Maharal objects to this as well. And the Maharal writes that it doesn't fit with the words, right? The Gemara's lashon is ve'enan elegzeros, which implies that the mitzvos are xeros. They're not, if you take the Ramban's reading, they aren't xeros. They're just not rachamim for the animal, they're rachamim for the humans. What does it mean, ve'enan el xeros, right? I'll just read you a little bit from the Maral. You have that in your next source. Yeah, we don't have time to read this whole Maral. We'll just read a little bit of bits and pieces, and I recommend reading the whole thing a little later. This is all from, all the Marals we're going to quote today, more or less, are from Tiferes Yisrael Perek Vav, right? Masha amar shein midos Hashem yizborach rachamim, Pirsha Ramban Zal, ki ein monea meitanu lekichas bali chayim letzarkenu. Davar ze ein sovel hagemara klal. Ma she'amar she'osem idosef shal kodesh baruch hu rachamim ve'inan el gzeiro. So Lashon doesn't fit. Ba'ave leilu meimar. She'asa Hashem lerachim ala behema b'malkom she'eno merachim. Right? So basically what the Maral is saying is the Rashi and the Rambam have the correct reading of this passage. This passage is unequivocally stating that mitzvos should be viewed as divine dictates designed to instill obedience, and they're not a reflection of divine mercy, whether it's mercy on humans or mercy on animals. And moreover, the Ramban, the Maral contends that Ramban's explanation doesn't address the details of the mitzvos. For example, why is it only usur in certain cases, like slaughtering a mother and a child on the same day? It's not concerned in other places. For example, the halacha is that you're not allowed to slaughter a mother cow or sheep on the same day as their young, but you could slaughter a doe and a fawn on the same day. Or why would it be that you could slaughter a mother And then the child, you know, right before Shkia, and the child after Tzitzis Kochavim, even though it's an hour apart. But you couldn't slaughter the mother in the morning and the child in the afternoon, even though it's 10 hours apart. Or, for example, why is it that in Beis HaMikdash, sometimes you do kill the animal from the back of the neck in the case of a bird? And in Chulin, that's Aser. That would be a Nevela. So basically saying that the Ramban's explanation don't address the details of the mitzvah. And we'll have to get back to a little later what the Ramban might respond. But first, let's look at the Maral's explanation. So the Maral says, you know, so let's think about it. If he didn't command the mitzvos due to concern for the animal, like the Ramban said, and he didn't do it because of concern for our character, as the Ramban said, so why did he command it? So the Maral says, look, the Gemara is very clear that they're decrees. This is the Maral's Lashon. Avol medivrei chachamim nireh. Shein lo marki ha-mitzvot shenason Hashem Yisbarach b'shvil ha-mekabel shu adam. Mitzvot are not about us. Rak him gzeros mitzad Hashem Yisbarach. Ha-gozer al-amo gzeros. Kemo melech ha-gozer al-amo. Af ki ha-emes ki masheich. Of course, it's good for us. Of course, we'll be rewarded. Of course, we will benefit from us. But what's the reason? The reason is not for us, but it's like a melech hagozer al amo gzeros. Mikol makom en haschalas hagzera shenitna l'tov el hamekabel. The ultimate purpose of the gzeira is not for the tov of the mekabel. Now, at first glance, this idea is shocking, right? He seems to compare God, it's hard to even say it, but look at the comparison, right? To a tyrannical dictator whose laws are meant not to benefit the people, even though they will ultimately benefit from those divine dictates, right? He compares it to melech hagozer al amo gzeiros. So before we answer that question, we'll try to answer it. Let's look at some of the proof that the Maral brings. So the Maral brings a number of pieces of evidence for this. One of them is that if a person takes a vow not to have benefit, let's say, from a shofar. So the Gemara says you could fulfill the mitzvah with that shofar. Why? Mitzvos lav lehanos nitnu. Performance of the mitzvah does not constitute benefit. Now, Maral contends that this only makes sense if mitzvos are not for our benefit. In other words, if mitzvos are for our benefit, like the Ramban says, so then how could you say mitzvos lav lehanos nitnu? I do benefit from the mitzvah. And he says, don't tell me that it just means you're not for our benefit in Olam Hazeh, but in Olam Haba. That too constitutes benefit. And later on, the Maral, so again, I'm going to summarize a little because I want to finish this Maral. So later in the piece, the truth is that Maral seems to somewhat soften his tone. And he says, it may very well be that the mitzvahs are for our benefit, but we can't relate to them as such. And here he offers a very, I think, important distinction. I think this is what he's saying. He's saying from our perspective, and also the perspective of halacha, as we've seen, we have to treat mitzvos as laws that we must observe because we are instructed. So that's why if a person says, a person can't say, you know, if these mitzvos are for me, then I opt out. I'm not interested, right? Saying, you know, let's imagine that mitzvos are for our benefit. So what would be wrong with the person saying, good, so I'm not interested, right? If I give you a present, it's for your benefit, it's for your good. You have the right to say, okay, I abstain from this gift, right? I'm not interested. I won't do the mitzvos. Good. I thank you very much for this wonderful opportunity, but I demur. Why can't you do that? Because like we said, when the purpose of our perspective towards mitzvos and the perspective of halacha, mitzvos are there to be a yoke, a burden, a demand, a chok, something I have to do, whether or not I'm interested, even if in reality it is for my benefit. And thus the Maharal concludes that his position is actually not that different from the Ramban's. They read the Gemara and Brachos differently. According to the Maharal's reading of Brachos, the Gemara could be taken much more literally. But on a fundamental level, he says maybe there's no disagreement, because Ramban argues that, as it were, from God's perspective, mitzvos are not for him, they're for us. But from our perspective, we can't look at mitzvos as these things that are for our benefit. Rather, we have to be mekabel ol malchus shemayim. It has to be an ol, it's a yoke, it's a burden, it's something we have to do regardless of whether we want it or not. We have to do it because we're commanded. I'll just read you a little bit from the Lashon and the Maharal. ובוודאי דאס הרמב"ן זאו תבין על עניין זה. כי המצוות שלו נסעך זר, המידה הזאוס, גזר השם על האדם, וכן שהמצוות כולם הם לקבוע באדם מידוס טובוס, והם גזירוס על האדם. It says a little later, כל זה שהמצוות הם גזירוס על ישראל, הם לטוב לנו. Now there's that which מצוות are לגזירוס, are לטוב לנו. כי לא יבוא מאיתו יסברך רק הטוב הגמור. כי כל מייסף הם טוב הגמור. כי הטוב הזה גזר עלינו ולא שיש כאן שום צד רחמנס, רק הכל דין. This explanation of the Maharal, I thought, was very similar to another idea as a little later on in Tiferes Yisrael, that the Maharal, this is in Perek along the base of Tiferes Yisrael, the Maharal is trying to explain the famous stira about Kaf Aleh and Harkagigis, the Gemara and Shabbos that says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu compelled us, forced us to accept the Torah. And of course, the Rishonim are all bothered by this because we had already said, Nasa V'Nishma, we're going to accept it willingly. So after you accepted it willingly, why did a God need to stick a gun to our head and say, you have to take this, otherwise I'm going to kill you? And the Maharal explains that if we had simply accepted the mitzvos voluntarily, then we could have opted out. We could have declined later because after all, it was incumbent upon us because we willingly, volitionally accepted it upon ourselves, had we not done so. So then we could have said no. And if we later on decide to say no, then that would also be okay. So Hashem also forced us. He said, no, I'm very happy you accepted this willingly. That's beautiful. I'm going to give you a big kiss. Nas v'nishma. Wonderful. But I want you to also know that the mitzvos are upon you not because you accepted it, but because you were compelled to accept it. And that's the idea that we were saying over here, that our attitude towards mitzvos have to be that we do this because we must, because God forced us. It is true we accepted, and it's true from his perspective, he doesn't get anything out of it. It's for us. But that's not our attitude towards doing mitzvos. When we do mitzvos, we don't say, okay, I'm going to do mitzvot, so I'll get tzchar. I'm going to do mitzvot, so I'll have a refined character trait. I'm going to do mitzvot for me. No, that's not your approach. Your approach has to be, I'm going to do mitzvot because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said so. And it's true, it's good to be aware that mitzvot are not for God, to understand that he doesn't benefit from it. But that shouldn't be our attitude when doing mitzvot. We have to look at mitzvos as divine dictates. The next source you have after the Maharal, if you see it, it's a piece from the Rav, from Divrei Hashkafa, and I think it emphasizes an idea that the Rav said in many places, that you have to view mitzvos as a yoke and a system of religious demands that sometimes demand sacrificing. And I think really in these words, you'll see he echoes what the Maharal says, that he's repulsed by the suggestion that Torah is some sort of a self-help curriculum that banishes loneliness or yields happiness or a good marriage, right? There are times that mitzvos are going to be pleasant. But there are times that mitzvos involve suffering. And the Rav's example of this is Akedas Yitzchak. I'll just read in translation a little bit, because again, we're just about out of time. The way the Rav put this idea. I recoil from all the talk that goes round and round a single topic, that the observance of mitzvos is beneficial for digestion or sound sleep or family harmony or for social position, right? Which you'll hear a lot of people saying. The religious act is fundamentally an experience of suffering. When man meets God, God demands self-sacrifice, which expresses itself in struggle with his primitive passions, in breaking his will, in accepting a transcendental burden, in giving up exaggerated carnal desire, in occasional withdrawal from the sweet and the pleasant, in dedication to the strangely bitter, in clash with secular rule, and in his yearning for a paradoxical world that is incomprehensible to others. Offer your sacrifice. That is the fundamental command given to the man of religion, the chosen of the nation. From the moment that they revealed God occupied themselves in a continual act of sacrifice. You will not always feel good about mitzvos. And don't tell someone that if you become frum, you'll always be happy. It's not true. It's a life that sometimes involves struggle, sacrifice, and sadness. Hashem says to Avram Avinu, take your son, your only son, the son who you love, Yitzchak. In other words, I demand sacrifice. I want you to take your son, the one that you love. And don't fool yourself to think that after you obey me and bring up your son as an Ola, you'll have another son. When Yitzchak is going to be slaughtered, you will remain alone and childless. You won't have another son. You will live your life in incomparable solitude. I want your only son who is irreplaceable. Neither should you think that you'll ever forget about Yitzchak or remove him from your mind. All your life, you're going to be thinking about him. I'm interested in your son whom you love and whom you will love forever. You will spend your nights awake, picking at your emotional wounds. Out of your sleep, you'll call for Yitzchak, and when you wake up, you'll find your tent desolate and forsaken. Your life will turn into a long chain of emotional suffering. And nevertheless, I demand this sacrifice. Clearly, the experience which was rooted in dread and suffering ended in ceaseless joy. When Avram removed his son from the altar at the angel's command, his suffering turned into everlasting gladness, his dread into personal happiness. The religious act begins with sacrifice of oneself and ends with finding that self. But man cannot find himself without sacrificing himself prior to the finding. So Rav is not whitewashing the struggle facing the servant of God. He doesn't deny the ultimate redemption either. The religious experience does end up in joy, but only after a struggle. We have to view mitzvos as an ole. We have to view God's commandment as demanding sacrifice. And if you don't, so then there'll be times where you say, you know, this isn't fair and I don't want this. And why do I have to do it? If you just look at it as, you know, all about me, you won't be makabel ol malchus shamayim. The idea of the maral. So what have we seen so far? We've seen the Ramban and the Rambam emphasize that the purpose of mitzvos is for us. The Ramban explained in great detail how that is true. We have the maral who asks a number of questions on this approach, especially from the Gemara Brachos about Shiluch HaKein, and says no, that mitzvos are meant to be an ol. And he explains that he's not necessarily arguing with Ramban, because we have to distinguish between two perspectives, between our perspective towards mitzvos in which we see mitzvos as an ol, something we have to do, that God demands of us sacrifice at times. And from God's perspective, which to the extent that we could understand it, is not about him, because he doesn't actually get anything from the mitzvos, but rather it is about us and what does he give us in doing mitzvos. That is God's perspective, but that can't be our perspective when doing mitzvos. Our perspective has to be, we're mekabel ol malchus shamayim, we're going to do what he says no matter what. And that is what the Gemara Brachos is teaching us. You can't view mitzvos as acts of rachamim, but rather as gzeros, we have to do it no matter what. So we're out of time. We didn't, unfortunately, get to much of what I was hoping to do today. So I guess we'll pick up with this next time. What we'll start with next time is how to resolve the stira and the Rambam between Mishneh Torah and Mevuchim. And then we'll also address statements in Ramban and Chazal that seem to contradict what he's taught us, which imply that we do give something to God with mitzvos. Havodat Tzarach Gavoha, the idea that we give nachas to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, we do mitzvos, and so on and so forth, including those Rambans that talk about the purpose of creation is for us to give kavod to God. So Be'ez Rosh Hashem, that's what we'll do on next Friday at this same time. So I want to wish you all a wonderful Shabbos, and as I said, please, if you have a chance, read the, I didn't even give you the whole parak of the Maral, but read the entire portion that I gave you, and also the whole Ramban. Okay, have a good Shabbos.
Shabbos, sir.
Shabbos. Thank you.
I've read, like, where is that Rav? Where is that Rav Soloveitchik?
It's there. It's in Devar Hashkafa. It's a book that was published originally in Yiddish and then translated into Hebrew of speeches of the Rav.
I thought it was
you can find it in
somewhere.
The library. Sorry. Oh, the English is not. I don't think the world. I found the translation quoted in another source.
Where was that?
But I don't think the book's been translated.
Do you mind sharing that other source?
Oh.